Thank you. It is so good to have you join with us the same time each week. And again, it is a real privilege to have you follow along in our Bible studies. And I know this seems sort of repetitious, but each week we do want to thank those. We get a volume of letters, and we thank those who take time to write to us and tell us they enjoy the broadcast, and it's a real encouragement. And the greatest thing is when we hear, you know, I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't believe that water baptism is the way to heaven. I believe that the blood of Christ is the way to heaven. He shed his blood. And that many times they write and tell us they had believed these things, and then they began to look in the Bible and found out that it is only by faith in Jesus Christ, in his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and in whom we have redemption through his blood. And those are wonderful letters when we get those, to know that you're going to heaven because Jesus Christ is now your Savior. Now we want to continue, and we go on over here to chapter 7 and continue our Bible study there in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 7. We find out here, as we had studied last week here, up in verses 1, clear on down here to verse 13, that the law, why the law was given here. And the law was given never to save someone, because the law was perfect, and it revealed the perfect righteousness of God himself. Therefore, the law could not do anything for the sinner, but condemn the sinner, because no sinner could ever keep all of the law in its total perfection. And that's immediately after the law was given in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, when the people said, all that the Lord said, we will do. Well, how many people say that today, and the next day they go out and commit some sin? But anyway, right after that, God knew their intentions were right, but he knew it was impossible for them as a human being to keep all of the law. So therefore, he gave the blood sacrifice. Now, we conclude down here in verse 13. Was then that which is good, that is the law, made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. And as we had given there some of the death penalties on some of the various sins, and shows what God really thinks about the sin in a person's life. Now, we come on down into verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. Well, what does it mean here when we know the law is spiritual? How could it be spiritual, and yet it was written on the tables of stones and so forth? Because it reveals the absolute righteousness of God. That's why it was spiritual, because it was perfect, and it revealed the spiritual, if you want to put it this way, God is a spirit, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, and it reveals God's absolute righteousness. So it was spiritual in that sense, but given to humanity on the tables of stone. But I'm carnal, sold under sin. That means I've purchased the old nature from birth, and I most assuredly have. David said, in sin was I conceived of my mother. And every one of us is born with the old nature. Now, when we come on down into verses 15 and 25 here, the thing that will help you in studying this part of the book of Romans here in chapter 7 is to realize the two natures. That's the important thing. And it will, if you keep that in mind, you'll be able to understand these passages as you go on down. And that is the two natures. The nature that you're born with is a sinful nature. And for that reason, when a baby is born, and say that baby dies, well, that baby automatically goes to heaven. And the reason it goes to heaven is it has never reached the age of accountability in order to put into practice what that old sin nature that it was born with will entice it to do. Now, you know, we have three children. And they're all grown now, but I remember raising them. We never taught them to pout. We never taught them to lie. We never taught them to throw a temper tantrum. And we never taught them to do things that were wrong. We always taught them to do things that are right. But did they do things that were wrong? They sure did. Is it because we sent them to some school to teach them how to do that? No. Where did they get it from? They're just born with it. That's where they got it from. That old nature they were born with says, all right, lie to mother and dad. deceive mother and dad. Do what you want to do. Don't let mom and dad catch you, and so forth. When they're a little smaller than that, then they cry and they pout and they want to be held all the time. They want their own way. This is the old nature. But we find out, because of that sin nature, even when a baby dies, that nature is a sinful nature and cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So therefore, the baby dies, the body cannot go to heaven, for flesh and blood shall not enter into the kingdom of God, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and verse 50 and 51. So even though it's a baby and it has never sinned because its mind has not progressed enough there, maturity, in order to obey what the old nature wanted to do, still it's an old nature and cannot enter the kingdom of heaven because it's a sinful nature. Now, we find out that when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, and then we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. And this is the new nature. Now, Christ had promised this when he was here upon the earth. If you go with me in your Bibles to John chapter 14, we'll find out here where God had promised the Holy Spirit that he would come. Notice again here in chapter 14 of the Gospel of John here in verse 16. He said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Forever. Once you're saved, you never lose the Holy Spirit. Now, in verse 17, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." He was with the Old Testament saints, and you must remember this, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit never permanently indwelt anyone. The Holy Spirit came into men for power and then left them, and then came back, gave them power, and left them. But now, on the day of Pentecost, and this hadn't arrived yet, here in John chapter 14, the Lord is telling them, the Holy Spirit, yes, he dwelleth with you. He's with you, but he doesn't permanently indwelt you. But on the day of Pentecost, he shall be in you, and therefore he will permanently indwell you. Now, let's come on down and find out a little bit more about the Holy Spirit, which is the new nature now. This is the Lord himself in the person of the Holy Spirit dwelling within every believer. And here's where the conflict comes. In verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and shall bring things to your remembrance." So when, after we are a Christian, we're enticed to do things the Holy Spirit will always bring to mind, listen, God doesn't want you to do that. This is sin against the Lord. If you know to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, and the Holy Spirit will convict. And you know what? This is what happens so many times with Christians. You know, when they get in a good Bible teaching church, and that pastor is preaching on sin and how God deals with that in a Christian's life, they're going to become very uncomfortable. They're either going to find a church that doesn't preach on those sins so they can just go there and be looked upon as a good, nice little person and still live in their sin. But what they fail to realize is God's going to chasten them. And Ephesians chapter 5 tells us this, that he's going to cleanse his church by the washing of the water by the word. He surely is. Whatever the word says is going to take place. And then he says he's going to purge it of every spot, wrinkle, and blemish. The spots, of course, the Christian can take out by self-judgment, just like we can remove spots off of our clothing here with the right chemicals and so forth. We can take the spots out and the sin out of our life by judging that we need to quit doing these things, so we can do that. The wrinkles are those sins which we will not judge ourselves and will not forsake. Then the wrinkles in your clothing have to be taken out with a steam iron, and that represents God's chastening, the wrath of God's chastening upon the Christian. Not that you cease to be a Christian, but God sometimes has to spank his children to get them to obey him. And then we find out the blemishes. These are permanent stains in a Christian's life that will never be taken out except at the judgment seat of Christ, when they'll suffer loss of reward, as spoken about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. In verse 14, it tells us this, "If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." But in verse 15, "If any man's work shall be burned," this is the Christian's works that are bad works. These are the wood, hay, and stubble that it spoke about. And the gold, silver, and precious stones are good works. "But if any man's work, therefore, shall be burned, he shall be saved, yet so as by fire." So it shows us here, very simply here, that God does chasten his children. But The Holy Spirit is the one that convicts the Christian that, hey, you shouldn't be doing this. Notice down here in verse 13 of the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John, he says something else about the Holy Spirit. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me. And that's what he seeks to do with the believer, that he will glorify the believer, and the believer will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by submitting his life unto that. Now keep this in mind as we go on down here in verses here, 15 on down here to verses 25. So let's pick it up here now, if you will, in verse 15. Now Paul says, and he wrote 14 of the 27 books of the New Testament, a tremendous witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the greatest missionaries you'll ever find. Let's read verses 15 and 16. For that which I do allow not, or which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. Well, that sounds, you know, why does he do it if he hates it? Well, we have the old sin nature. Why do you get mad sometimes when you know you shouldn't? Why do you get depressed sometimes when there's nothing really to get depressed about other than feeling sorry for yourself? Where does that come from? It doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. It comes from the old nature that we have. It always wants to exalt self. So keep this in mind as we go on down now. The new nature is the Holy Spirit. The old nature is the old flesh that you're born with. Now, for example, verse 16 again, and if I have the possibility, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now, what do you mean? Well, let me give you an example. If I consent unto the law that it is good, if then I do that which I would not. Well, the Holy Spirit says don't do it, and yet the flesh says go ahead and do it. Well, let me give you a very simple example. For example, we'll say that of speeding. We'll say that a person, a Christian, is speeding. Well, the person speeds, and yet they knew that they shouldn't. And the person says, now I'm stopped, and I have to pay a ticket. Now, it is good to have a law against speeding, isn't it? It surely is. I'm glad that we have laws against speeding. The law is good, especially when I see someone else get stopped for speeding and get a ticket. Now, we don't think much of that. We're for the law, 100%. That guy shouldn't have been doing it that. That woman shouldn't have been driving that way, and she passed me up, and I was doing the speed limit. So the law is good, and we love the law when it's applied to someone else that gets stopped for speeding. But even I have to admit and consent to the law that it's good even when it's applied to me. Now, if you were to get stopped as a Christian, you would get stopped for speeding because didn't think you're going to get caught. The old nature says, that's all right. I don't see any policemen around. I've checked my rearview mirror and here maybe he's hiding behind a building somewhere or something, got that radar on, you know, and you get stopped. Well, then you don't think the law is too good because now it's applied to you. But the law is good, no matter whether it's applied to somebody else, you know, or when it comes to it being applied to you. But let's go on down into verse 17. Now, then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Yep, I knew better, but that old nature in me said, I won't get caught. Oh, that old nature. Boy, that's a rascal, isn't it? I mean, it's the thing that causes us to pout, to get mad, to throw tantrums, to do things that God doesn't want us to do. And that's what it does. Now, let's go on down here to verse 18. And Paul had this great struggle himself. He says in verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. The flesh cannot produce anything that's pleasing unto God. You say, well, what about, and we've had this brought up many times, what about a person who is such a nice person, they're just such a sweet person, they would do anything in the world for you, they're the best neighbors anybody could have and everything, and in your eyes, they are a gem to have as a neighbor. And that can all be true, but in God's eyes, it's a little bit more than that, because they do not give God the glory for why they're living the life that they're living, because they're unsaved. They're not saved at all, and they love to be looked upon. They do good things for their own glory so that you'll like them and so forth. Now, there's nothing wrong with that other than looking at it from God's eyes. God doesn't get any glory whatsoever. because the person who's living this kind of nice life and good thing doesn't give God the glory, but he steals all the glory for himself. Therefore, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. Now, Paul speaking here is a Christian. He is a Christian. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. The flesh, in the flesh dwelleth no good thing. Now, when it says here, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Well, we find out here, going back to the speeding thing again, I just proved it by getting a ticket. I sure did. Or whoever it was, I didn't get one, but whoever might have got one. So, I proved it, therefore, that the law, that in my flesh there is no good thing. Why? The old flesh said, go ahead, you're not going to get caught. Now, let's go down to verse 19, 20, and 21. For the good that I would, I do not. Now, here is the sin of omission. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Here is the sin of commission. And if, notice the if now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. You know, we have so many people, and sometimes Christians get in this kind of mode here, if they get in a backslidden condition. Well, you know, it really isn't sin. You know, I just didn't look at it right. Well, had you been in church and been reading your Bible, you would have looked at it right, wouldn't you? Because the Bible would have said, yea, yea, or nay, nay. And there wouldn't have been any doubt. But you begin to reason it out in your own mind, and you go ahead and do the things that you want to reason out to your benefit, and then you want to excuse them and say, well, it's not sin. But the book of James tells us this, if a man knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So, we come down to verse 21. I find then a law that when I would do evil, when I would do good, evil is present with me. Yes, I find out no matter how many good things I do now, that's true. And we thank God for the Christians that serve the Lord. They're dedicated to the Lord, and they're in church where they should be. They read their Bible. They witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. But also, there may be a time when it just seems like the old nature slips in and gets them. And boom. And they do something they know they shouldn't do, and they know it's wrong, and what do you do when you do that? But Paul says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. In other words, I still have the old nature. Now, this refutes some of the Pentecostalism and some of the things that, well, you can, you know, you can work yourself up into sinless perfection. But this verse proves just the opposite, because Paul says, I find then a law that when I would do good, when I do good, and they say, well, you know, you can work yourself up into this doing good and doing good, that you won't want to sin anymore. But Paul says, no, that's not true. That's not true at all. And this verse refutes that kind of teaching that you can work yourself up and you're never going to want to sin again. Why? Because he says, when, notice here, he says, I find then a law that when I would do good, so when I'm doing good, I'm not sinning, yet evil is present with me. What do you mean? He recognizes the fact, even when I'm serving the Lord, I still have the tendency to sin because I still have the old nature, and I got to be on my guard that I don't let this old nature creep in and control me and make me to do something that's going to blow my testimony, you see. So let's go on down here now in verse 22, all right? In verse 22 and 23. He says here, I delight in the law of God after the inward man, that is the Holy Spirit. Now, no unsaved person delights in the law of God. None. I've never met one delights in the law of God. Because, first of all, they don't have the law of God. We find, I delight in the law of God. That's the new nature, after the inward man, the Holy Spirit. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, that is the Holy Spirit, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. So here's the battle again, the old man and the new man. And it's been illustrated like this. Well, if you take a white dog and a black dog, and you put them in two separate pens, and you feed the white dog all of his good protein dog food and everything, and you just feed him for a week anything he wants to eat that's good for him, all of his dog food. He gets fed two or three times a day, has all the water that he wants to drink, and if you have anything left over from your steaks, you give that to him too. But here's old Blackie over here, and old Blackie don't get anything but just a couple of little old scraps, and he gets maybe a little water, and he's about half starved to death. And you put these two together at the end of the week, and they get in a fight, who's going to win? Well, Whitey's going to win because he's been fed. I mean, man, he's strong. He's raring to go. And old Blackie here, he's weak as can be, and he's going to lose the fight. We have the same thing illustrated in the old nature and the new nature. If the old nature is fed all of the time with the wrong company, you don't go to church, you don't read your Bible, you're not around Christian people, you never witness for the Lord, you have nothing that's been put into you, into your mind, in order to strengthen your mind and strengthen your will and so forth. But if you feed the old nature with the wrong company and everything else, then that's what you're going to turn out to be. You're going to be a very, very weak Christian. But if you feed it, you're in church, you're around Christian people, and you have fellowship, and you're not hanging around with the wrong crowd, you're not doing the things the wrong crowd wants you to do, you're reading your Bible, and you're doing what God wants you to do, you're feeding yourself with a new nature, the Holy Spirit of God, then when the temptations come, then you are strong enough to say, nope, I don't want anything to do with it. And if you can learn one thing in your Christian life, say yes to the right things and no to the wrong things. But Paul said, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now, that's not in the absolute. In other words, it can bring me unto its captivity if I'm not feeding the new nature. So, notice in verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Well, we find out we're going to see that in the next chapter over here. Oh, wretched man that I am. And yet, Paul is one of the greatest missionaries we ever found. He was a murderer, and God made a missionary out of him. He was a blasphemer, and yet God made a blessing out of him. He wrote 14 of the 27 books of the Bible. And yet he realized, no matter how great God used him, and he did, he started churches, he won hundreds and thousands of people to Christ. And what a wonderful man, dedicated to God, that he was. Yet, he also knew, oh, he said, oh, wretched man that I am, because he knew he still had the old sin nature. Don't ever forget that as a Christian, and you'll realize what the problem is and what the battle is in your Christian life. Now, in verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. The flesh is the old nature, and so with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. What is that? That's the new nature. Why? Because we have the mind of Christ. Just hold your place here a second. Go with me to 1 Corinthians here in chapter 3. And he brings this out. We find out over here in chapter 2. Notice here, and he gives this conflict here and the contrast between the human spirit and the Holy Spirit. Notice in verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? This is what he's born with. This is the natural man, his human spirit, his intelligence, and so forth. But now the contrast is, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. This is the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on to say, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So, this is a great battle that is going on. He continues with this in chapter 8. So, it would be like a man, backslidden Christian, you know, obeying the old nature. One man was a driver, and he tucked this note under his windshield wiper of his automobile, and he said, I've circled the block for 20 minutes, and I'm late for an appointment, and if I don't park here, I'm going to lose my job. Forgive us our trespasses. Well, he was a Christian. He thought it would work. But when he came back, he found a parking ticket and this note. And the note said, I've circled the block for 20 years, and if I don't give you a ticket, I'll lose my job. Lead us not into temptation. You see, so, you know, the old nature always wants us to do something, doesn't it? Even wants us to lie once in a while. There was a mother and a father and the son, and they were dining out in one of the town's swankiest restaurants, you know. The father had just closed a big business deal, and he was feeling in an expensive mood, and he insisted on ordering the largest porterhouse steaks that they had. The mother, oh, she was a thrifty soul. She summoned the waiter, and she said, please wrap up what's left for the dog, please. And their son, overhearing the conversation, leaped up from the chair and yelled out, "Goody, goody, we're going to get a dog, aren't we, Mom? We're going to get one. When are we going to get it?" Oh, boy. well, she sort of lied a little bit. They didn't have a dog, did they? So, this is the old nature, always wants to do that. Well, I see our time slipped away. Let me put this out, if I may do this. We just had our book on Face-to-Face with Tongues, examining the charismatic, the speaking in tongues. Is it of the Holy Spirit? Is it of a counterfeit spirit? It examines everywhere tongues is spoken of in the New Testament. And that is $6.95. If you would like to write us here, and we pay the postage for it. We were completely out of print. We just had it printed here and printed several thousand copies. But when we had put it on the internet, we sent those copies over many countries, Argentina, Australia, South Africa, many, many places. We were getting emails on that to send them a copy of that and so forth. But if you'd like a copy, you can write us here at Heritage Baptist Bible Church, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. But you can write us here, and it is $6.95. They're just brand new printed. It will give you the answers as far as the speaking in tongues and faith healing and so forth like that, and as we go through the scriptures there. I'd also like to remind you to visit our website. It's www.heritagebbc.com. We get a lot of response off of that, and we think you'll enjoy the archives, which has many Bible questions and answers on it. It's been such a privilege to have you join with us. We'll look forward to seeing you the same time next week. Again, don't forget to write. We'd love to hear from you. Until then, keep looking up, for Jesus is coming.